as if getting into college wasn't hard enough. Folks are reeling from the recent arrest and indictment of dozens of wealthy elites, including Desperate Housewives actress Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin, Aunt Becky from Full House, for what could become the biggest bribery scandal in college history. As Baby Michelle would say, bad move, dude.
The wealthy folks allegedly bribed their kids' way into top universities, with some going so far as photoshopping their kids' faces onto athletes' bodies from stock photography to make them look like they do anything more than spend their whole day shopping on their smartphones. Today, we're taking a look at the college bribery scandal and other celebrity scandals.
Why do people think Mr. Rogers was a sniper in the Vietnam War? And was he really bisexual?
Plus, Bryan Singer is out as the director of the Red Sonja remake.
The U.S. Postal Service celebrates Sesame Street's 50th anniversary with new stamps.
Pop singer Sam Smith reveals that he identifies as non-binary. I am not male or female.
And the state of Illinois votes to require LGBT history to be taught in schools. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. If all it had taken was me photoshopping my face onto someone else's body, I would have done it a long time ago.
We have done that before.
Well, yeah, but for laughs.
Not to get into college.
Well, or they didn't, get a job or,
Fausto,
you know,
they didn't
open
even
doors.
Have Photoshop when you went to college.
That's
did they?
True. They didn't. I was one of the first people to use Aldus Photoshop, mm-hmm. though, you know, before it got bought by Adobe.
Okay.
And I was one of the first people to work on Quark. And I said, oh, man, the day you can make your dick look bigger with this thing, it's going to be great.
And boing, now you can. Well, you know, it's not just photoshopping your face onto athletic bodies. It's also money. I mean, some people paid up to like $6.8 million to get their kid into a school of their choice. Some people paid like $500,000. Could you imagine? And people complain about tuition and student loans and stuff like that. And this is just going into college.
And I guess Aunt Becky's daughter is like a YouTube viral superstar. She's mm-hmm. like a video blogger.
Well, yeah.
Olivia.
And she's
just like, I hate going to school. I'm just doing it for the party.
I wonder how this is going to affect her channel because she's lost some endorsements. I think it was like one of the makeup companies said, we're not going to deal with you anymore.
I'm just like, you know, Cooking with Drag Queens is always looking for sponsors.
Yeah, you know, we have a new season coming up. Have your ad put right in there. It goes right on YouTube.
That's right, honey. And we actually pay to go to college. Mm-hmm. And we're still paying for
still
it.
Paying.
Ay, Dios mío.
All these years later.
Yeah, it's like, every time I pay that student loan, I'm just like, God damn, Lori Loughlin and Becky, I'm not going to be watching your Hallmark Channel specials, the garage sale mysteries. Those are probably canceled now.
Yes, Hallmark Channel said no more. Sorry, Aunt Becky. And Fuller House said, you've got the boot, babe.
I know. Meanwhile, Catherine Bell, star of Good Witch, is like, did somebody say my name?
But, you know, I'm not feeling too bad for Lori or her kids. They're loaded. I mean, Lori's husband is worth like $80 million.
But she's probably, if this goes through, she mm-hmm. might face some significant prison time.
So she'll, what is significant prison time for a mother who tried to bribe her kid to go into college? What is it going to be? 30 days?
I think it's going to be like Paris Hilton. She'll come in, or no, it was Lindsay Lohan. It'll be like an afternoon and
yeah.
Sing, sing.
I mean,
she'll be
not,
the queen of
it's not
going to
be like
you.
Martha Stewart. How long was Martha Stewart in there? 6 months, 8 months?
It was a while, yeah. Martha Stewart, I think, actually was unfairly targeted for her success in business as a woman and you know, made to be an example. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that, you know, Lori Loughlin and Felicity Huffman.
Mm-hmm. Star of Desperate Housewives and Transamerica, A Love Story.
She was accused of stealing a character, trans character, from a trans actor for that role. That she
well,
was,
you know, it's been
nominated.
A long. It's a complaint that we're still getting to this day and age is, you know, cisgendered people taking the role that should belong to a trans person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's a lot of people out there that says, you know, an actor should be able to play any role. In an ideal world, yes, that would be true. It's just that there's no roles offered to trans people or very few roles.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the solution to that is just having trans people working as writers and directors and producers. And I think that'll naturally will come. And you know what? What does our say? Diversity writer. You have your crew be a reflection of the society at large. If you're an actor who believes in diversity and equality, put it in your writer.
Yeah.
And I think that's starting to happen, you know.
The thing about the scandal that was the most outrageous is really the Photoshop thing is to take, they would take images from the internet and Photoshop their kids' faces on it.
Yeah. And you have a, we know people who'd actually do this already.
Well.
Yeah. You know, we don't want to say their names, I have a friend,
you know, she does this with a lot of pinup photos. So if you pay her or she does it for herself, you know,
and for her amusement,
amusement, she'll take like vintage photos and her name's Solitude. You guys have heard her on the podcast before. And
I'm not putting her on blast.
She does this for, you know,
for fun.
She does this for fun. And like some people pay her to do it. Like they're like, hey, I want to be like this 50s pinup model. Can you put my head on this? And so she'll match the style. So it's not just like a weird head, but like she'll repaint your face basically onto something.
And a lot of Instagram stars are sweating it now. Mm-hmm. They're just like, I hope nobody catches me liquefying my midsection.
Well, you know, the thing is, it's like, you know, these sports teams for these colleges will have like 30, 40 members.
So, yeah.
Like the coaches will be like getting payments from like these parents or the agent. They usually use a go-between, like get my kid into the school. I'm like, okay, we'll get them on the rowing team, even though your kid's never rowed. We'll take some photos, and then the coach will recruit them. The coach will get a payment. Your kid doesn't, you know, do they even have to show up for anything? We don't know.
It's going
to
be a future episode of Law and Order.
Oh, for sure. Somebody's going to totally get murdered this way. always. Ripped
from the headlines. Lori Loughlin's daughter, Olivia, becomes embroiled in a death sex scandal. Bum, bum, bum.
Hudson University is always the evil university.
In Law and Order?
SVU, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, they're always like full of scandals.
Yeah.
I
don't think it's a real university.
And some actually colleges are actually going out of their way saying, we don't have any scandals involving our names. You know, university, the ones that are really in the front is the University of Southern California. Mm-hmm. I actually applied to go to college there.
And how much money did you give them to get into?
$80.
Oh, to apply, yes.
It was expensive. Back, this was, you know, in the early 90s. Yeah, so imagine what people are spending just to apply for college. And it's drawing attention to the fact that we have, you know, this idea of a meritocracy, this idea that we have the great equalizer's education, but this reveals that a lot of wealthy people are actually, you know, hacking that system as well and keeping people ignorant and keeping them out of these institutions that can open doors for them. And certainly, you know, the lives of someone like, you know, Michelle Obama, actually the first lady, she's or Barack Obama, the president. They were both people who sort of came from very modest backgrounds. And it was their educational institutions, their higher education, that opened up doors for them. You know, so in terms of, you know, this scandal, it's leaving people questioning the value of education and the value of degrees from these prestigious universities. Mm. So it's a definitely big news story, and it's very disappointing to see some of these our favorite entertainers, because people love, you know, Lori Loughlin's Hallmark Channel movies. I'm a big fan of all that stupid drivel, syrupy
but
stuff.
She doesn't, you know, she really doesn't kind of surprise me, just because it's, you know, it's saccharine garbage for the most part. And Full House I've never really watched, but I can understand the appeal from it. But I was really surprised by Felicity Huffman getting involved in something like this. She seems like a smart, savvy person. I mean, her husband is William Macy, who's a brilliant actor.
Hold on a second. William Macy, isn't he in that TV show? What is it called? Shameless.
Yeah.
And what does he do in that show?
He's a drunk dad.
But he's always getting into some scam or another and getting arrested running and stuff. So William Macy's maybe a method actor he's practicing for the...
Maybe. The thing is, though, like, they both seem really smart and intelligent, so I'm really surprised that, like, that they would have to do this for their kid and to throw down this much money for their kid.
They're saying that this is kind of like an extension of that mental disorder, Munchausen by proxy, where the parents sort of get obsessed with the success of their children, or they live vicariously through their kids. I think Lori Loughlin never went to college. college herself.
Maybe.
And her husband, who's this really weird right-wing Trump supporter, mm-hmm. but he's like worth $80 million or something.
And some weird plastic surgery going on there. And yeah. talking about people being entitled and like people don't work for their stuff. They just expect to have things handed to them. We overheard at cocktail parties, allegedly.
I want to develop a drag character that's an esthetician.
Do it.
And nude esthetician.
And the... what was I going to say? And Felicity Huffman was arrested at gunpoint by the FBI. They came to her house, guns drawn. Because I don't know if they saw her on Desperate Housewives. They're like, this bitch is crazy. Let's get her. You
know? I would, you know, if these are A-list mm-hmm. actors, mm-hmm. you don't want anything mm-hmm. going wrong. Mm-hmm. And so it might be, you know, some of them have bodyguards.
Yeah.
So you bringing out mm-hmm. firearms might not be uncalled for.
And a lot of people are saying, like, why don't these people just do it like the old-fashioned way? Why don't they donate a building like a lot of other people have done in the past to do? But, you know, there's only so many buildings you can go around. And, you know, if you donate a building, that building's got to be built. That money's got to go somewhere. But if you just bribe your way to get in, mm-hmm. then it's like people get to actually enjoy the money that they get out of you.
And part of this, like, fascination with these scandals is, I think, is that we define ourselves, we identify so much closely with these entertainers that when we see their public image popping like mm-hmm. a soap bubble yeah. in front of us, it's really hard to reconcile. I think that's why we've been so fascinated in discussing the Michael Jackson mm-hmm. Documentary. And
what's the high being brought down low? You get to see these people. It's, you know, it's a classic Greek tragedy. You get to see these people that were high born or, you know, of higher stature, and then their actions cause them, their hubris causes their great downfall.
And that might be our, you know, something that we'll get to see with Donald Trump. And some people are pointing out, where's the documentary on Donald Trump? You know, and part of it is that Mueller report, that mm-hmm. Mueller investigation is still unfolding. Mm-hmm. And recently, I think the state representatives, I'm sorry, the House of Representatives mm-hmm. passed unanimously to make that public. And that turtle face from Kentucky won't even bring it up for a vote in the Senate.
Mitch McConnell. Oh, yeah. He does not want anybody to see that.
Because his name is probably
in there. Well, yeah. And the Russian oligarchs, his overlords, the people that, you know, are probably funneling him cash somewhere into some secret bank accounts in Switzerland.
Yeah.
Don't want anybody to see it.
And with this, people are now bringing back another, you know, scandal or rumor is the true origins of Fred McFeely Rogers, better known as Mr. Rogers. Was he a murderer, a heartless sniper in the Vietnam War, and wore long sleeve sweaters to hide all his tattoos that had, like, you know, skulls and crossbones on it?
Well, the tattoos we know because we've seen him swim practically naked, right?
In one of the final episodes of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, Mr. Rogers showed the viewers what he did to stay young, and he took them to his swimming pool, the local gym, that every morning before he went to filming, he would swim at least an hour laps.
Oh.
You know, so you can have a rockin' Mr. Rogers body by swimming laps every morning before going into work.
Well, it's great cardio, right?
Yeah. And it's also like meditative. And I think someone like Mr. Rogers was somebody who was very invested in the mental well-being of a lot of people and children as well.
I know for myself, when I quit smoking, I was, you know, I had a hard time kind of remembering how to breathe, and I was having panic attacks. And it was hard for me to even just, you know, do a whole lot of physical activity because I was just my body was out of rhythm. It was out of sync. And one of the ways to get back into moving well and exercising was to go swimming, because there's a calming effect to being in the water, even if you are physical. I don't know if it's the water temperature or if it's just something, you know, they say humans may have evolved, like, you know, living in swamps or something. We might have been swamp monkeys.
Did you grew up Catholic?
I grew up Catholic, yes.
Did you ever pray on a regular basis alone by yourself?
Oh, sure. I would say prayers at night before I went to bed.
And was it just like rote reciting the Lord's Prayer and then you would go to sleep? Or would you like reflect on your loved ones and wish them well?
A little bit of it was both.
So it was kind of like a modification of like letters to Santa, like, in, you know, kids pray to Santa, like, I want this toy, I want this. And for a lot of Christians or Catholics, mm-hmm. it's sort of reflecting on the good people in their lives and wishing them well is a way of like clearing the mind and sort of preparing yourself for a good night's sleep. And I think, you know, as we grow up as adults and we realize how we're betrayed by these religious institutions, mm-hmm. we also miss out on some of the goodies, which is like clearing our minds before we go to bed, mm-hmm. or
my father would kneel next to his bed and pray.
Oh, that's so cute. Mm-hmm. As an adult.
As an adult.
And he had excellent knees. And part of it is, I think, you know, like in times in my life that I've been stressed out, and I know you just recently, you know, did this reality TV show and you were meditating as a way of sort of like handling and managing stress. Was that helpful for you at all?
I probably could have meditated more.
But so you tried it at first. You were like, it does nothing.
You know, we were on the go a lot and there was times to be alone and whatnot, but it wasn't really so much. But yeah, you just try and be in the moment and to be present.
That's why I just, you know, meditate is just do nothing. Just sit there for a minute and just, and that's it.
It's supposed to be mindful, right?
You know, I say there's no wrong way to do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, as long as you try to mm-hmm. do it. That's the thing about like meditation is that it's okay just to try to do it and fail at it too.
It's the trying that you do. But yeah. the big news is that's come out recently about Mr. Rogers is somebody in a book somewhere said that they were talking about sexuality, and Mr. Rogers said he was attracted to both men and women, according to this book.
And I think they're going stretching a little bit far. Like, you know, I think Mr. Rogers was somebody who saw the beauty in all of humanity. There's another urban legend that Mr. Rogers got mad one day and flipped the TV camera, his middle finger. So you can Google on the internet mm-hmm. and search for Mr. Rogers flipping the middle mm-hmm. finger, when in fact he's just playing a game of like a song game mm-hmm. with your fingers, like yeah. Where is Thumpkin? Here I am, here I am. Where is middle finger? Take that, you bitch. You know, and so you know, we see Mr. Rogers sort of like that innocence, that purity bubble being mm-hmm. popped, but in fact, it still was pretty innocent.
And so when he said he was attracted to them, he wasn't necessarily talking about getting a boner for them. He was just like, I value people.
Yeah, and I'm exactly the same way. I see the beauty. I do mean the beauty, the sexuality, the potential sexuality, the potential to connect in every single human being. Mm. I think we all have a deep capability to connect with each other, and we share much more in common than we do differences.
You sound like a real whore.
I'm a people person. But no, and part of that is, you know, I think that's my background as an artist. Like at a young age, I was taught to see beauty in everything. And when you draw, when you learn to draw and see as an artist, you're looking for interesting shapes, because complicated, convoluted shapes, mm-hmm. the Baroque pearl, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Do you know about Baroque pearls? Baroque pearls, or what is a Baroque pearl?
A Baroque pearl is one of those teardrop pearls, right?
Originally, traditionally, pearls were prized for being spherical and mm-hmm. perfectly round. And in the Baroque era, they decided, you know, we like complexity. Complexity can be beautiful. A Baroque pearl can be a misshapen pearl, can be a pearl with flaws in it. And it's those flaws and those misshapens that make them beautiful. Mm. And I explain this to drag queens sometimes. Your flaws is what makes you beautiful as much as it is your mm-hmm. perfections. All your attributes complete you.
So your flaws are the things that make you beautiful.
Make you vulnerable, make you relatable, and make us understand you better. And so in order to connect with you, we have to understand your motivations, your interests, your mm-hmm. passions. And so, you know, in terms of Mr. Rogers... So
would you say you're the Baroque pearl of drag?
More than that, honey. Mr. Rogers, and you know, he saw the world as an artist. He saw the world as a great humanitarian, and I think that's that man's legacy. Mm-hmm. And part of it is like we live in a very world with, you know, flaws and shortcomings, mm-hmm. and we're in this crisis right now where there's very little love mm-hmm. going around the world. Very little mm-hmm. acceptance.
Are you sure it's that, and that you're not just trying to erase his bisexual
bisexuality?
Because you know that's a thing. People are just like, Freddie Mercury wasn't gay; he was bisexual. You're totally erasing that.
Well, so famously, a singer and actor, Francois Scarborough Clemens, who played mm-hmm. Officer Clemens on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. He is today, he's loud and proud, wearing dashiki robes and fearless on the internet and in the Won't You Be My Neighbor mm-hmm. documentary. He is a delight. Mm-hmm. And you can follow him on social media. He weighed in on this, and I'm totally right there with Francois.
And Francois, he came out during that documentary. Like he was
correct.
And he said that Mr. Rogers accepted him, but told him he could never come out well.
It was a struggle. It would be difficult for him to come out on the show, and he discouraged it. And, you know, of course, we're talking in the 1960s here in early 70s. So, you know, he was a man of his times. Mm. And certainly Francois Clemens is making up for those times. And then some. Mm-hmm. He says, in my humble opinion, lots of folks are fast jumping to lots of conclusions about Fred's sexuality. I just don't buy it. I would be nice, but the truth is nicer. None of us so-called experts, in quotations, have any non-refutable proof of anything, other than Joanne, Fred's wife's, opinion, which I'm sure she'd share with us if it's any of our business. We're all begging for crumbs, and the meal has long been over, and the crew has cleaned up and gone home. Let the man rest in peace. I don't feel that folks are judging him, but they are throwing his reputation and name around for a superficial, flagrant pleasure in a way I'm sure he'd not appreciate. Trust me, if he were here, this is not a discussion we or anybody else would be having. You'd be having too much respect for the man. Mind you, and mind your own business, you have much more success with me. I am an extrovert. I've never wanted or would enjoy the kind of privacy Fred needed to survive. It was poison to me. Now here's one for you. I love Beyonce. Senator Kamala Harris, Maya Angelou, Oprah Winfrey, Julia Roberts, Sarah Vaughan, First Lady Michelle Obama, Dolly Parton, Nina Simone, RuPaul, Cicely Tyson, Angela Bassett, Angelina Jolie, Jennifer Lopez, Marnie Williams, Rebecca Brown, Jackie Lynch, Michael Schmidt, Carol Burnett, Renee Fleming, Liv Ullmann, Glenn Close, Andrea Solomon, Maggie Ryan, Brett Miller, Priscilla Brebsner, Lady Elaine, Orozco Hammond, Amy McGlashan, Julia Alvarez, Nancy Means Right, and Beaupré, Kate Grudy, Judith Jamieson, Ruby Dee, Vicki Lawrence, Lola Falana, Flo Jo, Rachel Maddow, Joe Reed, Tina Turner, and Bonnie Raitt. I never thought about it before, but I wonder if that makes me bi. You better be thinking.
Did he really put all those names down?
Yes, he did.
Jesus.
Francois Clemens, baby, on the internet.
Listen, just because you worship a diva does not make you bisexual.
Well, you know, for some people, their attraction to an entertainer is an extension of their own sexual identity. Or sometimes, you know, we are
just
tapped into this.
Oops, I did it again. Does not mean you're hot for Britney.
No. And for me, it's like I'm more like with Sam Smith right now. He just revealed in an interview that I don't identify as male or female. He identifies as non-binary. Mm. And part of me is like, he wants to use the gender pronouns male. Mm-hmm. For most of the time, it's, you know, a male bro. But part of it is, I think, when it comes to our gender identity, we want to create a little bit of wiggle room. We want to create a little bit of space. And so for a lot of young people, and I love this idea. It's mm-hmm. like saying you're non-binary says, you know what? This is I sometimes live in this area of town, but sometimes I go visit over here and sometimes I feel more comfortable in this other area.
Well, it's people trying to act to be a little bit more conscientious about toxic masculinity.
What is toxic masculinity exactly?
Toxic masculinity is the idea that men should act and behave this certain way.
In a certain way. And that includes heterosexuality.
Yes, that includes heterosexuality. That includes, you know, you have to be the man of the house, you have to be the breadwinner, woman have to be submissive to you, that kind of stuff. But you can have toxic masculinity in a gay relationship, too, in a gay context or in a bi or a trans context.
And part of that is it's tied to trying to meet other people's expectations, other people's definitions of who you should be as a person. I'm my own woman. I am my own wife. I will live my own life, and no man or beast shall define me. I am, what did Oprah say? I am a free woman.
Don't play me small.
Don't play me small like that.
Yes.
And I think that's part of it is like it's people wanting to define themselves on their own terms. And as somebody who is Latino, Latinx rhymes with Kleenex.
Or Latinx.
Latinx. But I think I like Latinx because it sounds
like, rhymes with Kleenex.
Yeah. Why do, and you use a lot of those late at night. You know what I'm saying?
I just have a sock.
And part of that is it's just embracing your identity for, and on your own terms. And it's yours to have. It's yours to celebrate and yours to shape any and to unite under. And I think a lot of people forget that, you know, so those people try to take that identity away from you and, you know, they don't have to, and you don't need to let them. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, free to be you and me what is her name? Marla Thomas used to sing.
And Sam's had, you know, struggles. He said he's struggled a lot with weight issues and even had at one point in time a breast reduction job because he got had like some weight. So, you know, he felt conscientious about that struggle.
His mother was a bit obsessed. You
oh,
know?
Really?
Like, so I had nice titties when I was, a little, you know, in my preteen years. And my mother just went, "You want me to get you a bra?" I mean, really, they actually would make me feel a little bit bad about that, you know?
Oh, because you were heavy set.
I was heavy and I had, you know, I had boy boobies, you know? And it's like, and so I wouldn't want to take my shirt off at pool parties.
Oh.
You know?
And now you can't keep a shirt on.
Ooh, or any clothes at all. So the U.S. Postal Service, we sometimes get very excited when stamps commemorate artists like Betty Davis.
Aww. She's got Betty Davis stamps.
She's got Betty Davis stamps. She is postage. And she knows just what it takes to get your letter to you.
I've never. That's a callback to an old show. Some of the listeners might remember Tracy Tyler when they came out with the Betty Davis stamps. We did a whole parody song, or as Tracy liked to call them, spoofs.
So,
of Betty Davis eyes, but it was Betty Davis stamps.
You know, that song was also licensed by 7-Up to do a song ad for Cherry 7-Up. Looked like gasoline and tasted like gasoline.
Yeah, not very good.
So United States Postal Service announced and revealed the new stamp subjects on Tuesday in honor of the nation's most beloved children's show, 16. Count them. 16. One stamp. Sesame Street characters will get their faces on stamps, except Count Von Count. I'm just kidding. He's on it, too.
Of course he would be.
So you have Big Bird. You have Bert and Ernie. You have Cookie Monster. You have Turquoise Monster Rosita.
Elmo?
Elmo's in there.
Okay.
Elmo survives Kevin Clash's tarnished career. You have Oscar the Grouch. You have Abby Kadabi. You have Count Von Count. Guy Smiley. Snuffleupagus, who does supposedly used to not exist, right? Harry Monster, some little girl. I don't know who some of these new ones are.
Grover and Harry. One from South Africa who has AIDS? I want that one.
That would have been a good one. They have Oscar the Grouch and Slimy Worm, who's original canon.
Oh, I don't know. Do I know Slimy Worm?
Slimy Worm was one of the greatest Muppets. You can watch videos on YouTube because he had a little band, and he was like the microcosm of Oscar the Grouch's countercultural world.
Okay.
A lot of people don't realize like why Sesame Street was so amazing is because of Jim Henson's viewpoint of idea of portraying the 1960s and 70s as hipsters versus squares. So you would have Oscar or the Grouch against, you know, these sort of like character actors like Olivia or Bob, you know, screaming angry things. He was based off as of a cab driver. Or you had Grover with the guy the in the waiter restaurant skits, you know. And it was always back to this idea, like, that Bert and Ernie, you know, the square and the hipster, they were always butting heads, but at the end of the day, they got along.
Aww.
And it was a very important message for Americans that need to hear right now. It's like,
We need to get along.
We need to understand each other. We need...
The whole world needs to, especially right now, you know.
Yeah. So, so I'll be buying some. So if you want me to write you a letter and... You know, I'll put a Sesame Street stamp.
When do they come out? Is it soon?
They are available for sale right now. Go get them.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
I'm off to the store. So the state of Illinois, the legislation just passed. Is it a law now or what's going on?
So it passed the Senate. In the last session, they passed the House of Representatives, and Pritzker, who's as, you know, liberal as it comes for a billionaire Democrat, he's going to sign it. So all schools in Illinois will be required in the next year to be teaching LGBT history.
Yay, they get to learn all about Adam and Steve and the Garden of Eden.
So they're gonna basically like, all right, kids, Stonewall, AIDS, and Lady Gaga. Any questions? Good. Bye.
Well, you know, they might talk about the homophile movement of the late 1800s or early 1900s that lasted up until, I think it was called the homophile movement, until Stonewall, basically.
Yeah. I guess in the Stonewall riots, there was like there's a book that came out that had all the like characters of all the mob people associated with the club where the Stonewall Inn. And there was an FBI agent that was infiltrating the club to try to get that mob arrested, and his code name was the Crystal Skull. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah.
Is that why you named your Crystal Skull the Crystal Skull?
I named it because of the book on the Crystal Skulls, because I liked to, my father was a New Age.
He was an occultist.
And he was into all that shit. And I always thought it was hilarious. And and so I, as a drag queen, I developed a crystal skull puppet who would try to predict this future and give, you know, psychic readings of the audience. And of course, he would just sit, do fortune cookie shit.
But you know what? People
love psychics, even fake psychics. Yes. Even when I was a drag queen and I was a psychic, I forgot to talk about that in the podcast. I too was a drag queen psychic. Only I was just like, I was
Aquarius.
Just,
you would do a tarot readings.
I'd be like, Aquarius, you're all wet. Cancer, make sure you touch your breasts and testicles for any lumps. You know.
But people really enjoyed it.
They just
were inspired by Walter Mercado.
Walter Mercado, the great Puerto Rican psychic astrologer and Doritos spokesperson.
You should do him for Snatch Game.
That's right. I will do Walter Mercado. You don't know who Walter Mercado is? Google it, loca. That's perfect. Yes. Don't steal that audience.
Sorry, please. You lost it. People will be like, who's Walter Mercado?
Who's Walter? And will
anyone care?
Does anyone? Well, listen, Doritos cares. They paid him $1 million for that ad.
That was amazing.
That was the best thing on the internet for a hot minute. It was Walter
Mercado.
Was that
a Super Bowl ad?
It wasn't a Super Bowl ad. They just stuck it in there.
I feel like it may have been.
It should have been.
I don't know.
If you guys ever want a good time, Google Walter Mercado. Mercado is merchant. What is it? A market in Spanish.
Mercado.
Voy a ir al mercado a comprarme un Walter. I'm going to go to market to buy me a Walter. Walter Mercado and search Doritos ad. And on YouTube, you will not be disappointed. Them. It's insane. And I guess he travels faster than light. So he goes from old queen to like young queen. Oh my God.
So they've developed a wearable penis camera that lets you, like a cock ring, you put it on and it lets you record your activities.
Justforfans.com. So you're gonna put that on your body parts.
Yeah.
And I guess you can get really up close. A fan of that when it happens in porns, when they bring the video camera right in there into the taint area. And you're just like, what am I even looking at? It looks like a looks like one of those esophageal cameras when the doctor goes in there to look for colon cancer.
Well, the company has a video and they show somebody like paragliding and they're wearing like a prosthetic penis. And so you're seeing them like paraglide. But I would imagine, you know, if you want to see what somebody's face looks like as they're servicing your, you know, member. As they're filleting you, or like as you're going into things, I think we'll probably see some of that in porn. Now, they say it records for a long time, but after a while, though, it does get a little hot from the
because of the batteries and stuff like that.
Now, they say if it gets too hot, you want to take it off. The other thing, too,
expo near you.
It does have Wi-Fi capabilities, so as you're doing something with your cock camera, somebody else can like watch on an iPad or an iPhone or something.
This is definitely a high-tech device to the ongoing do-it-yourself erotic video market.
The democratization of porn.
Yeah, it's kind of like we were sort of in the past talking about how in the future everybody would be a porn star, and now we're in the future and everybody is a porn star. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like...
Except us. We still haven't done porn yet.
I don't feel like that's a bridge I want to cross just yet. But, you know, by the time I'm ready to cross that bridge, I don't know.
Old man, you'd be going to Japan and do that old man Japan
porn. I'd be like, all right, kids, let's have some fun. Like, oh, Mr., we do not want that. No.
You go back.
Go back to America.
We have one already.
Yeah, I guess there's a category of porn is the senior citizens doing it.
Yeah, but there's one. Guy in Japan who's like 80 some years old and he's in a lot of different porn, and sometimes he's just watching, he's seeing the activity, sometimes he's participating, you know, he's their version of Ron Jeremy, because you know Ron Jeremy, you don't want to watch Ron Jeremy have sex, but you love the fact that he's a porn star.
Wasn't Chris Crocker the Leave Britney Alone guy, his first porn was with some, like, he was an older guy who was known for sort of, you know, not being seen as an erotic figure. Mm. And so he would like pair up with these kind of like nubile young guys. And that was the sort of the daddy son relationship happening.
And I think Chris is making more porn these days.
What else is he going to do? You know, he's got to pay the bills, honey.
Got to pay the bills.
Just for
and
fans.
Some people are, you know, they're exhibitionists and want to show it off.
And so, you know,
one person you know, if you get this penis cam though, the one person you don't want to lend it to is Brian Singer, because you don't want to be looking at that iPad to see where that dick goes. Shit. You might get arrested for like kiddie porn or something.
I guess Brian Singer just got fired as the director of the Red Sonja remake.
Yeah, I guess because they couldn't find like a company wouldn't touch it because
they want
a distributor. Nobody would distribute it because like they figured because it was Brian was attached to it. He's allegedly hosted, you know, parties with all these underage young men there. Some people have come forward and say I was underage and, you know, he molested me. And so they're like, you're out from this. So I don't know, you know, it might be, you know, hard for him to get some work, at least I think with all the other discussions that we're having with the Me Too movement and everything, his time might be up. Again, I don't know.
Time's up.
You know, exactly, right? I don't, you know, again, everything is alleged. So, but quite a lot of people have, you know, come forward and said stuff. And we even know people that have gone to the parties, and there's been written discussions of what these parties are like. And they're like, there's a lot of very, very young gay men there.
That's disappointing.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, and part of it is like, you know, at this point, why is he not like seeking treatment? Mm-hmm. Or is this something that where he's like exploiting people and part of that pleasure is in sort of abusing his power? Mm-hmm. You know, it's an ugly thing to think about.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm excited about the project. I mean, I love Red Sonja. I mean, the movie that's starring Brigitte Nielsen and Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, wasn't that good. But still, it was nice to have, like, a woman in that sword and fantasy kind of world.
Sword and sandals. You know, modern, but...
Yes.
What is the barbarian world, do they call it?
The barbarian world. Sword and fantasy, I've heard it written. Because, you know, it's fantasy. Sword and sandals is more like the Roman stuff. Uh-huh. Gladiators and Greeks and whatnot. But the Red Sonja film is like, you know, Brigitte Nielsen, she was a character, you know, she was a weirdo. And, you know, we kind of saw some of that in, what was it, The Flavor of Love?
Well, became a star in The Surreal Life.
Yeah, The Surreal Life.
Again, with her romance with Flava Flav.
And she was struggling. She says she was struggling with depression at the time. Oh. So she was just basically fucking the pain away.
Oh.
And man, I love that. Mm-hmm. That was one reality TV show I really enjoyed.
Aww.
It had Gary Coleman in it, had Ron Jeremy.
Oh, geez.
It was a wonderful celebrity train wreck and was fun and was mm-hmm. lighthearted. And it was Eric Estrada was on it.
Oh, wow.
It was a really great. It was on VH1 before it got corrupted by RuPaul's Drag Race. Now it's all RuPaul. Man, RuPaul's Drag Race is like a black hole. It just sucks every other channel. Show on that channel, whatever channel it's on. If it's on Logo, it becomes the Drag Race channel. You go on VH1 now, it's like, it's the RuPaul's Drag Race channel.
Good for her, man.
Like take it, girl.
Like she said in the last episode, she's like, I have been the reigning queen of drag queens for the past 25 years. And everybody on Twitter is like, yeah, if you hadn't killed Divine.
Ain't nobody coming for my gig. Cameron Michaels, who was top three last season, is... She's rumored to, I guess, be dating Miss Vanjie.
Oh, really?
Vanessa Vanjie Mateo.
The Danny Trejo of drag.
Yes. And Cameron Michaels,
get
I guess.
These cockies.
Her nickname is the Bodybuilder Barbie.
Mm.
And I'm like, you know, I would say more like fitness model Barbie.
Skipper.
Yeah.
Fitness model skipper.
Bodybuilder Barbie, sometimes, yes, absolutely.
Do you think you could take him? Like, if you guys got into a fight?
I'm made out of glass. Yeah. I don't fight with people. Absolutely not.
But you have muscles. You got to put them to use.
No, honey. I'm not a warrior.
Skull those, crush those skulls.
Listen, if it was me and Soju, I'd be down in 5 seconds. Soju can pull out those nunchucks.
Soju, you just go for the taint. Squeeze it.
And see what pops out. Yeah, I would not. So I guess the question is, like, if you were had to fight for your life against a Rue girl, who would... Who could you take down and who would take you down?
I think somebody put that on Facebook somewhere and people are like, this is not nice. You guys
it's violent and it's not a thing.
But it's also, it's meant in jest, you know?
But, you know, I'm a lover. I think Cameron Michaels has heat and certainly she saw that Kahana Montrese from the season 11, one of the early eliminated queens, certainly has a lot of heat. And she posted on her Instagram, y'all found season 11 trade though, right? That she at her Kahana Montrese, would you like to Netflix and chill? Within half an hour, Montrese spotted it on and said, you want to hop on, try to hop on this or OnlyFans? Woo! So people are like, thirsty and hungry.
Mm. Who's the first drag queen from Drag Race who will have their only for fans, do you think?
I think a couple of them are already doing that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. They're definitely doing like erotic videos. I don't follow them close enough, but I think they've been past guests of the show.
Somebody said that you should, like, yeah, I read somewhere that like eating an orange in the shower is like one of the most wonderful things you could do. And somebody was just like, you should have Fausto videotape you eating an orange.
We got oranges. We got a shower.
That's true.
Although our poor shower head is like,
I know.
It needs to be replaced.
The whole bathroom needs to be remodeled.
I agree.
Let's get right on it.
Yeah.
Tina, bring me the axe.
Bring me the
and
spackle.
The tile grout.
And, yeah. And the hammer and all this other stuff. Yeah.
Maybe we should do bathroom makeovers with drag queens.
Yeah, be like, here's a spackle gun, here's the tile. Get to work, girls. Chop, chop.
You gotta see a girl work a sledgehammer, because, man, when you take those towels out, you have to really, you gotta pound the walls to get that stuff out.
Well, it seems like that's the direction a lot of media is going, that, you know, in terms of, like, queer liberation, there's the sort of magic homosexual, you know, doing makeovers and stuff. Sure. And then there's the drag queens who are sort of, like, doing that kind of role as well. And so we're starting to see, you know, every reality TV show idea plus drag queen going to be fulfilled.
Spice it up with a drag queen.
Yeah. So you'll see, you know, Master Chef with drag queens soon enough.
Well, you know, it's listen, clowns are out, but drag queens are in.
Yeah. You know, one thing I never see at those drag expos and stuff is t-shirt cannons. As much as drag queens love to push their merch, I have yet to see, you know, when the crowds collector, yes. somebody coming out and be like, who wants a t-shirt?
Get one. Somebody, a brilliant woman in Oklahoma. Well, maybe not that brilliant because she got arrested, but I do appreciate her ingenuity. And she took one of those t-shirt guns and she launched drugs, cell phones, and other contraband into the prison yard. And you know, people have done other things before, like they've used pigeons, they've done catapults, all sorts of stuff. If you can figure out how to smuggle stuff into prison, you can make some good money.
Do they x-ray all the food that goes into a prison, like all those bulk food items?
I'm sure not.
So that's probably how it gets in. You know, all they have to do is just like bribe, you know, some food truck delivery guy, and that's it.
And the guards and whatnot. Yeah. They have all sorts of stuff. There's all kinds of way. You've seen Orange is the New Black.
I saw Orange is the New Black, honey.
That's over now, right?
It's the last season.
It's already done?
I think they're going to make it into a musical. No, they did that with Transparent.
Yeah.
So it looks like all of them are doing the Xena Warrior Princess. You remember Xena Warrior Princess did a musical episode.
So did Hercules. So did Buffy. The Flash did one recently.
So that means the series is wrapping up when they start singing.
I don't know. The Flash is still going strong.
Oh, it is. Yeah, yeah. People love that show.
It was a crossover with Supergirl, too. Because, you know, they're like, who here can sing? You know, they're like, I can. You know?
Oh, yeah. We saw Captain Mar-Vell and the cat. Mm-hmm. What is it? Spooky? What was the name of the cat in the movie?
They renamed the cat from the comics, and I forget
the name of the cat. So the cat is, as you know, as you probably guess when you see it, spoiler alert, is not really a cat, you know. But
well,
the cat, people say it steals the movie, and it's quite a character, charming. Yeah. And, you know, I liked it. I thought it was fun, but it's definitely, you know, it's a shame that it's not as strong as all the other, you know, Marvel movies that are not sort of
put it in perspective. It's like when you look at like Iron Man, the first movie, it was kind of a bit of a dud, right? The second one was much better. But you know, I felt like something like Captain America or the Hulk, and some of the Hulk movies,
they were terrible.
They've not
the first
been good
ones,
either.
Yeah,
so you know, Captain Mar-Vell is better than those. Like it didn't have like you know, Captain America movies I felt was really great. Guardians of the Galaxy's movies were really good. You know, Black Panther were great and playful. And this was, you know, this was good. She was strong. She was interesting, but it was a little bit flat. But, you know,
is it because the character herself, like, is kind of boring to begin with? I mean, you know, you just have she's the strongest figure in the universe. So it's kind of like what's the point of that?
I think,
you know,
the thing about it is we don't, because when we go into this movie and see it, she doesn't know really who she is. Mm-hmm. So for us to relate to her, we don't know who she is, so it's hard for us to relate to her in the very beginning. So we're not emotionally attached to her. There was nothing in there to say, hey, I believe in you, that kind of thing. The other thing, too, is like we're like, oh, my God, she's part of the Krill. Like, those people are evil. Like, you don't want to be associated. Like, why are we rooting for her? You know, so it's kind of hard to like her at first. And so this might be something that you might like her more in a sequel film.
She's supposed to be the way they turn the table on the, you know,
on Thanos and
on Thanos. Yes. Yeah. An end game. So that's coming. Is it this summer? Is it?
I think it's coming soon.
Oh, right? Holy shit. Yeah. End game's coming, hon.
You
know,
so you have. So
they say some of the major comic book heroes are going to. That's the end, and they're retiring their characters, and that's the end of it. With a lot of people speculating that this is, you know, Chris Evans hasn't signed a new contract. So. This might be the end of his path and also Iron Man as well.
But the other thing, too, is like he might be done with it, but then they might just come along and be like, how does 20 million sound? And he goes,
I'll play Captain America. Chris Evans, you don't want it? Send it over to me.
I got muscles, too.
I'll be like, give me that disc. How does this thing work again? Yeah. Ow, my head.
You know what I think is really kind of funny, though, too? There's a meme going around, and it's a picture of the backside of Captain Mar-Vell, and she's kind of got a bit of a flat butt. Then the backside of Spider-Man, you know, and his plump bootyliciousness, and it's, and the tagline is that this is the imbalance that Thanos is talking about, and I shared it on Facebook, and not only did your mother, who's 80 years old, like it, she reshared it.
Well, who can resist Holland's beautiful butt?
You know, he's got a gymnast butt, right?
Now, to ruin it a little bit for you guys, Tom Holland's butt in that meme is Photoshopped.
Oh, it is?
Just like those kids' photos trying to get into college.
Oh, is her butt Photoshopped the opposite direction?
No, that's really how it looks. Nice and flat.
Oh.
White girl butt, hashtag.
Listen, if you want a good butt, just do lots of squats.
It's tricky, you know. If you have a bad knee, it's like you have to sort of work around that. Yeah. So it's not always easy. Yeah. So, you know, Tom Holland, if you want to come over here and show us how to do those squats, we're more than happy to take some instruction.
I want to see some of them black back flips.
Yes.
Yes.
He's so cute.
Oh, he is adorable.
I would say, like, you know, he's one of the sexiest and the most appealing of all the Spider-Mans.
I would definitely say. I think he has more charm than the other ones. For
you know,
sure.
Look at here on the internet, all the actors who've ever played Spider-Man. Did you know that Neil Patrick Harris? He played Spider-Man one point in time.
When?
He probably did the voice for it, you know, so.
Yeah.
Spider-Man! Hey, folks, we would like to remind you that Feast of Fun is made possible because of your generous support. We rely on you to make this show happen. Go to feastoffun.com/plus and become a member and get access to all our shows, all 14 seasons of Feast of Fun, almost over a decade and a half of podcasts with the world's top artists and entertainers.
We also still have our GoFundMe, and we're trying to raise money to replace some of our equipment. You know, we've got a computer. There's some sound equipment going on here. This equipment's older. It's, you know, after 15 seasons, some of it's failing. And so we're upgrading some of these things and fixing it. So if you can go to GoFundMe.com/Feast of Fun Computer.
We really appreciate your support, and we love that you guys listen to the show every single day. And we are here all the time. We love you. Follow us on social media at Feast of Fun and, of course, Twitter and YouTube, and where you'll be the first to find out when the next Cookie and Drag Queens premieres.
Very soon.
Soon. Days away. Love ya.
Bye. Mm-hmm.